Emily, I couldn't help but think of you when we sang that song, Stronger. He is Stronger. Because that has been the theme song for Emily as she has gone through the various cancers and tumors, believing that He is stronger. He is stronger than anything that we'll go through, and He gives us the strength. But part of that song is, so let your name be lifted higher. Be lifted higher. And that's what we talked about last week when we prayed, Hallowed be your name. That is, may your name be kept holy, honored. May it be the supreme value that we have. And that's our message from last week. And so let your name be lifted higher. And this week we continue with the next request that Jesus taught us to make of God, the next petition that we're to bring before the throne of grace. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's our verse for today, Matthew 6:10. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that your name indeed be lifted up, that it would be the supreme value of our life. But then, Lord, may we learn what it means to give you the supremacy, that you would have first place in everything, in our hearts, in our lives, in everything. Lord, teach us what it means for your kingdom to come, for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we learned that we begin prayer by placing our faith in God as our Heavenly Father. Our Father, who art in heaven, may your name be kept holy. We learn that this comes by grace, that He is the Father only to those who believe and receive His Son, Jesus Christ. We are not born with the privilege to call God our Father. We must be born again by faith in Jesus Christ, by hearing this good news about Jesus. God has revealed to us, shown us what He has done for us in Jesus Christ, and we become now part of God's family by faith, and then we can call God our Father. And so we begin this message today by recognizing that all of this is by faith. It's by God giving us His grace, something we don't deserve, His favor. We don't deserve God's favor. He gives it to us as a gift. And so everything begins with that gift of faith in Jesus Christ, so we can call upon God our Father. And then once calling upon God our Father, we want His name to be lifted higher. His name represents who He is. It is His revelation of Himself. That means God has shown us who He is and how we are to put our faith in Him. He has been revealed most specifically through Jesus Christ. And so we pray that since God is our Heavenly Father by grace, then we ask, we plead with God that His name would be honored as holy in our lives and everywhere and in everyone. And last week I got a little excited about that because God has been speaking to me through preparing these messages. Tim, are you lifting my name? Are you really making it holy in your life? And I realized that all of prayer and all of my life is to honor God's name, His person, and to exalt Him in everything I do in life. And it's had an impact on me, and I pray it would have an impact on you, that God Himself would be honored as the supreme treasure of our lives. That's what the Lord's Prayer is all about. That's how it begins. And you shouldn't pray the Lord's Prayer if He's not your supreme treasure, because that's what you're asking for. And you shouldn't be a hypocrite and ask for something you don't mean. So if He's not your supreme treasure, then we can't pray this prayer. And if He's not your Father, by faith in Jesus Christ, you can't pray this prayer. But I trust that that's not true. I trust that it is true that Jesus Christ is your Savior and that you can call upon God as Father. And because of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross, that God is our supreme treasure, the supreme treasure of our lives. And so we pray that God would make His name the revelation of himself in his word and in Jesus Christ. He would make his name supremely valuable in the hearts and minds of all people everywhere, including our hearts and lives. The great preacher of old, Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, said, "This is the expression of a burning and deep desire for the honor and glory of God." Do you have a burning and deep desire for the honor and glory of God? I think of that word burning, because what did Isaiah, when he was in the temple and he saw this awesome vision of God on his throne, the King of glory, and these seraphim were around the throne saying, "Holy, holy, holy." Those seraphim, the Hebrew word is burning ones. They had a burning passion for the holiness of God. And so he says, we ought to have a burning and deep desire for the honor and glory of God. Well, today we continue that theme of being passionate about God's supremacy. Now, don't get tripped over that word. That word gets used in a lot of different contexts today. Don't get tripped over the word supremacy. It means simply this, that God has first place. That God be given first place in our hearts and in our lives and in the hearts and lives of people everywhere. It comes from Colossians chapter 1, where it says, so that Christ may have the supremacy. That's in the New International Version. Other versions say, so that Christ may have first place. That's the easy way to say it. I should maybe say, be passionate about God having first place in my life and in everywhere else. And so we mean by supremacy that God has first place, and that we pray in this prayer that God would have first place in everyone's heart and lives. That's what it means to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth that is in heaven. God, would you reign supreme in my life and over all the earth?" John Piper, I mentioned him last week, pastor, author, theologian, gives an excellent summary of these first three requests. And let me just use his paraphrase. First, we pray, "Father, cause your great and holy name to be honored and reverenced and esteemed and treasured above all things everywhere in this world, including my own heart and in your church, all true believers in Christ. And then cause your glorious and sovereign kingly rule to hold sway without obstruction everywhere in the world, including my own heart and in your church, O Lord. And cause your all-wise, all-good, all-just, all-holy will to be done all over this world the way the angels do it perfectly and joyfully in heaven, and make it happen in me, Lord, and in your church." When we pray, "Your kingdom come," we are praying for people everywhere to come under God's good and gracious rule. His rule, his reign in our life. That indeed God would rule in our hearts through Jesus Christ and in the hearts of people everywhere. We want everyone to come into God's kingdom because it is good. And we'll learn that we enter it by grace, by faith in Jesus Christ. And then in the next petition, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we are submitting ourselves to God's authority, that we would do his will and do it just as the angels do in heaven. In Psalm 103, verse 21, it says, "Your angels do your will perfectly." And that's the way God wants it to be done among us. We're not going to be perfect. We're not perfect. But Lord, we just pray that more and more our lives on this earth would reflect the glory of heaven, and that God's will, what God desires, would be true for us right now. The first thing that God wants for you. People came and said, "Well, what should we do to do the works that God requires? What should we do?" And Jesus answered, and he says, basically, you don't do anything, but you believe something. You believe in the Son of God. You believe in Jesus Christ. If we are to pray, "Your will be done," we're praying that we would believe in Jesus Christ, because that's the very first thing. This is the Father's will, that everyone who looks to the Son would have eternal life, and he will raise us up on the last day, and then we'll be part of God's eternal kingdom and glory. But right now, he wants us to be part of his kingdom right here on this earth by grace. It is a kingdom of grace because we can't enter it by our own works, our own actions. We can't do anything to enter God's kingdom, but it comes to us when we hear the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. And then he gives us a heart to repent, to turn away from our sin and turn to him. And so in Matthew 4:17, it says, from that time, Jesus began to proclaim, repent, the kingdom of heaven has come near. It has come close. Now receive it. Believe the gospel. It is the kingdom of grace that we come by grace in Jesus Christ. And so in Mark 1:14-15, it says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news, the gospel of God. The word gospel literally means just good news. It's the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent. Believe in the good news. Believe in this gospel. It is a kingdom of grace. We come to it, into it, not by our own works, but by faith in Jesus Christ. God has first come to us. He's first reached out to us. That's the glorious message of Christmas. He's come to be among us, to bring us to him. The kingdom of God is wherever Jesus Christ is. The kingdom of God is wherever Jesus Christ is. Bible scholar Richard Lenski says, this kingdom is the heavenly reign and rule of God through Jesus Christ and the gospel of grace. Where Christ is, there is this kingdom, and there is his rule. That is, it's allowing God to be king over us, giving up the authority, giving up the right to do my life the way I want to do it, and say, God, the only thing I get out of that is a big mess. Oh, Lord, I turn over the kingdom of my life to you. I want you to be my king. I take myself off the throne. Would you rule in me? Bible teacher John MacArthur says, the kingdom for which we pray and of which we now have a taste as believers in Jesus Christ is of infinite value. Infinite value. That's what Jesus taught when he said the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in the field, or it's like a pearl of great price. You see, this kingdom is of infinite value. And we pray, hallowed be your name, may your name be holy. We say, that's the supreme value of everything. And now your kingdom come, that's of infinite value. It's all of one piece. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, we are praying for the success of the gospel here, for the conversion of people everywhere. Not just that a kingdom would come to me, but it would come to all people everywhere. That's what it says in our catechism. That's what Jesus said when he says, go and preach this gospel to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Wherever Christ is proclaimed, wherever he is believed and received, there his kingdom has come. That is the kingdom of grace. His kingdom come to us now. We should have a burning desire within us for this his coming kingdom, that the name of God may be glorified and magnified all over. And that's what it means for God's kingdom to come, that Jesus Christ would reign supreme in my life and everywhere. Our innermost and greatest desire should be the desire for God's honor and glory, for his kingdom to come to us and all. Isaiah 52:7 proclaims this. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good news, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. That's what it means to pray your kingdom come, that God would reign, that God's kingdom would come, that his rule would be in our lives and in all the earth. It is a kingdom of righteousness. It is a kingdom of righteousness. It is a kingdom of peace and joy, according to Romans 14:7. It is where God rules, and so God is righteous. And where He rules, where His will is done, there is righteousness. And we're going to hear about that from 2 Peter 3:13. It says, "But keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness." That's what's coming. That's the ultimate consummation of what we're praying for, that God's heavenly kingdom would begin. That's the kingdom of glory, but let's not get to that too soon. But that's the place of righteousness, and we're saying we want God's righteousness to rule right now in our lives and in all people. Pastor and author and theologian Timothy Keller writes, "This is a lordship petition, asking God to extend His royal rule in every part of our lives, that we would proclaim Him Lord, that He'd be Lord of all." The late John Stott, author, pastor, theologian, says, "The kingdom of God is His royal rule. As He is already holy, so He is already king, reigning in absolute sovereignty over nature and history. But there's one place where God doesn't automatically rule. He rules all of nature. All the universe obeys Him. His sovereign plan is being worked out in all of history. But there's one place that He will not reign or rule unless we respond to His gospel of grace and freely give our heart to Him so that He would rule in our hearts. We are asking God to so fully rule in us that we want to obey Him with all of our hearts and with joy. And so the one petition of "Your kingdom come" just goes right into the next petition of "Your will be done," because we're really asking God, rule over us so that we want to obey You. We want to do Your will. We want You to expand Your rule over all the territory of our heart. Obviously, to do that, repentance is required, right? We heard that. Repent, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent means to quit going your own way and go God's way. It means to make a turnaround and start going God's way, 180 degree turn. It means to change your mind in the Greek language and say, "Yeah, God, You're right. I want Your will to be done in my heart and in my life." I like the old saying, we can't pray "Your kingdom come" until we pray "My kingdom go." That's repentance. We can't pray "Your kingdom come" until we say, "Okay, God, let me let My kingdom go." In Ephesians chapter 1, it talks about the good and gracious will of God. It's full of grace, and it's good because God is good. And He wants us to experience His goodness. And so we pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We're praying that all of God's good gifts would come to us as we obey, as we respond to His goodness by wanting His will for our lives, wanting His will. And we should want His will because it's what's good and best for us. Listen to these verses from Ephesians, beginning with verse 4. It says, "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with the pleasure of His will." God's will was that we would be adopted, that He would choose us to know Him and to love Him, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us. That's the gracious part. Freely given us in the one He loves, that's in Jesus. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. His will is a good and gracious will. It's full of grace that He lavished on us. He lavished on us this grace with all wisdom and understanding. Verse 9 says, "And He has made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ to put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, that is Christ." That's praying, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done in Him. We were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in accordance to His will. It's God's will that we would experience all this, that His grace would come to us, that we'd be redeemed through faith in Jesus Christ, to the praise of His glorious grace. That's what it means to pray, "Your kingdom come, Your will be done." That God would reign and rule supreme in our lives, and that we would receive by faith His kingdom, His rule, and that we would pray fervently, "Lord, crucify my will. Crucify my will, and allow Your will be done in my life. Let You reign supreme in my life so that what You want is what I want. What You want is what I want." So when is the will of God done among us? Our catechism says God's will is that His name should be honored and hallowed, and that His kingdom would come. It all fits together. How do we do God's will? Well, we pray, "God, may Your name be honored in our lives. May it reign supreme in us. May we treasure it as the highest value. May Your kingdom be our greatest treasure, and that we would allow You to rule in our lives." Then God's will is done. We look forward to a consummation of this. We look forward, as Peter does. He says, in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. That's where it's all going to be consummated. That's where it's all going to bring its final fulfillment. And we pray, "Your kingdom come." We're praying the prayer that ends the Bible. Go look up the last verses of the Bible, Revelation 22:20, and it says, "Amen, come, Lord Jesus. Amen, come, Lord Jesus." And what will happen then? Let me read from Revelation 21 as we end. Revelation 21, 2-4, "And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death, no mourning, no crying, no pain. For the old order of things has passed away.' And the one who sits on the throne says, 'Behold, I am making all things new.'" When we pray, "Hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven," we're looking forward to what God is going to do there, where every tear will be wiped away, no more mourning, crying, or pain, and we're saying, "Come, Lord Jesus, and come right now, and give us the hope, that hope in our hearts right now, so that we can endure all crying, all pain, all sorrow, with Your help right now, because we're in Your kingdom. And You're working Your perfect will in us." We can definitely see that we need God's kingdom here on this earth, because this earth is in the grip of another kingdom. And so in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "For He has rescued us from the dominion, from the kingdom of darkness, and has brought us into the kingdom of His Son." It is a kingdom of light, from darkness to light. Can you pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Do you have a passion? Are you passionate that God would reign supreme in your hearts and lives and reign supreme everywhere? Let us pray. Oh, Father God, if there's anyone here who can't truly pray, "Our Father," because they have not received Jesus, Your Son, as their Savior, Father, today may they do that. Today may Your kingdom come into their hearts and lives. Today may Your will begin to be done in their hearts and lives. Father, if there's anyone who needs to receive Jesus, may they cry out to You right now, "Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I need You as my Savior. I believe You died on the cross to forgive my sins, and I ask You, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and into my life as my Savior and Lord. Would You live in me as You have promised? And Father, may I then live for You. That one day, because You rose from the dead, one day Your kingdom will come in glory and I'll be with You in glory. And I praise you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.